Scott, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me back on the program, Scott.
We, of course, have had you on many, many times over the years. You were one of those COVID whistleblowers that you should get hats made up that said Dr. Jensen was right about everything.
Everything, yeah, yeah. If you haven't already.
Brett?
Well, there's no question that the way it played out, I think we certainly have seen that what happened in those 3 years was a pretty dark chapter in our history as a country.
Exactly. Amen. I hear red is kind of a popular color for hats. I don't know. You could decide, but I would, I'd come up with something there. You know what I'm saying? Talk about the decision-making process. You've done this before. Why are you doing it again?
After we lost in 2022, my wife and I did a tremendous amount of soul searching and praying and talking to Minnesotans all over the state. I mean, I went north, south, east, and west and tried to get a handle on what happened. And I really believe that those 3 years, 2020 through 2022, were transformational for our country and our state. I think people really had a chance to realize how the heavy hand of government could be used to violate their own individual civil rights. We saw businesses locked down. We saw schools closed. We saw nursing homes become almost, if you will, it almost seemed for some like a prison setting where they couldn't see their loved ones. And I think those kinds of things really shift many people's view of government and even public health agencies. And then as we saw more and more information unfold regarding some of the recommendations that ultimately turned out to be based on incomplete data, to say the least, I think a lot of people really reconsidered, okay, what do we need to do? And I think for me, this is a challenging time for Republicans because we need to recognize that we need to run on good governance. And what does that look like? We need to run on equal opportunity, but not pledge that we can determine with certainty that people will have equal outcomes. I think we need to stand up for all people's rights. And I think some of the bizarre positions that small groups have taken, all of these things combined for me, Scott, that I feel like we need to see an energetic campaign that truly builds a big tent, but it's going to have to break out and say, listen, we need to be clear. We need to win elections. We need to do that based on good governance. We, the people, is the greatest motivational force for change this country's ever seen. It's been that way for 250 years, and that's not going to change. And I think I'm the person who can do that. I'm willing to step outside the guardrails. I can speak to the issues. I've been there before. And with what we accomplished in 2022, I don't think we need to chase some of the issues with mainstream media. I think in some situations we can tell mainstream media, we don't trust you the way you cover things. So we're just going to state our position and we're going to talk to the people and we're going to let the people decide. And that's why I'm running, because I think the people across Minnesota and even across the nation want to have a conversation with me. They feel like I'll be candid, I'll be transparent, and they're right. I am going to be that.
I feel like what you just said could come out of the mouth of about any Republican, conservative candidate for anything. What do you feel like in that is your differentiator?
Well, quite honestly, courage. I don't believe that a lot of the typical candidates have been courageous enough to be critical of our own party. I think from 1975 to 1995, my first 20 years of involvement, quite honestly, we were the independent Republicans. We were a Republican Party that valued independent thinking, and it wasn't get in line or shut up. And in 1995, we shed the label independent. And I think that's okay to simplify the label, but we cannot let go of the need to be independent thinkers. That's what the Republican Party has historically been ever since Abraham Lincoln, especially when you think about Teddy Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan. When you think of these champions of Republican causes, I think that I'm a more independent speaker, and I'm not looking for a new career. I'm not looking to be a politician. I'm a family doctor who has spent one term in the Senate, and I had a chance to see what it looks like. So I think that I will bring a certain courage to the table. I think I'll bring a certain uniqueness in my style of oratory. I think I don't hold back. And also, I think I bring a level of energy that's not common. We did a lot in 2022 that people said couldn't be done. We had almost 100,000 people on our team in terms of our email team. We had 40,000 unique donations. We raised more money than any previous Republican gubernatorial candidate, winner or loser, had ever raised. So I think that those things nobody else can say. And then when you look at social media, I have a presence on social media that nobody else has. I have almost 750,000 to 1 million people follow me every day. And I think that that's important.
What lessons did you learn from the last run for governor, and what would be different this time as a result of that?
It was a hard time in 2022. We were in the midst of a pandemic that we'd never experienced before. One of the big lessons I learned was I certainly made some mistakes. One is, if you cannot corroborate something, then don't speak it. And there were occasionally issues that would come up that I was too willing to comment on that had not been corroborated, and I had not been able to corroborate them. I should not have spoken to those issues. That was my fault. I think that I also learned that when it comes to politics, if you chase mainstream media for coverage, it may backfire on you. And I feel this time like I'm not chasing mainstream media for, quote, organic news coverage. I feel very strongly that the boss of an election is the voter. And that's what we need to do, is we need to make certain that we're letting the voter, the engaged voter that's willing to step into the arena, we need to make sure that they are the ones who are determining who's going to be the candidate. And they're going to be the ones giving the candidate the critical issues. We sent out an exploratory letter about 3-4 weeks ago and asked 70,000 people, what are the issues that concern you in Minnesota? And Scott, I was astonished at the number of responses we got. We had hundreds and hundreds of responses, and these weren't two-word responses. These were passionate, eloquent comments about what people were so sad about in terms of what Minnesota has become and what they celebrate about Minnesota and what they thought Minnesota had given up over the last 5-10 years. And this, I think, is an indication of just how hungry people are.
Oh, I couldn't agree anymore. Yeah, they certainly are. Are they more hungry than they were in 2022 for a change? Part of me thinks everything you just said is nimble adjustment to your political style and your campaign that'll come in 26. But you didn't beat Walz in 22, and he may very well be a candidate again. How do you beat him or anybody else with those adjustments, knowing what we know about this grip that the Democrats have on Minnesota?
Great question, Scott. I think two big things step up. One is, I think truly the convergence of the pandemic and the overturning of Roe v. Wade was a true call for transformative thinking. And I think I think millions of people engaged in that where they said, whoa, we really need to make a distinction between personal privacy privilege to determine our own moral compass and public governmental policy as it impacts and controls its citizens. And I think an awful lot of people have had a chance to think about that and recognize that while there may be settled law on many issues in Minnesota, people can have their personal private perspective and should not necessarily expect government to overrule that. So I think that's a huge thing. The Roe v. Wade flipped the script in 49 out of 50 states in 2022. That was, for lack of a better term, that was simply destiny. That was one. But I think the other thing, Scott, is I think at that point in time, we still had a lot of polarization and a lot of concern about misinformation and things like that with the pandemic. And I think those issues have aged in such a way that most people recognize that many of the calls for misinformation, the labels being applied to anybody that spoke a, quote, contrarian narrative, were false. and that much of the information was not misinformation. It was simply a different perspective, and in many situations, it was the correct perspective. Where did the virus start? Did it start in the lab, or did it start as a natural reassortment of RNA? These kinds of issues have absolutely aged and evolved, and I think right now many people feel like they were fed a bill of goods.
100%. But I also think
too readily.
100%. But I think COVID has changed all that. Kev, I know you want to get a question. I mean, I shouldn't say COVID's changed all that. I think time, that train's left the station.
We don't have enough time for everything we need to talk about, Scott. But I'm a fan. I'm more about you and what team you would bring in to kick the doors in St. Paul. We've got to crack the Metro code. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you crack the code in Duluth and St. Cloud and some of the blue-seated Metro. You've got the Rockin' Cows. How are you going to crack the code in the Metro? I don't know how that happens.
Most succinctly, what I would say is we just got to be there. We've got to spend more time there. We've got to spend more time listening. We need to spend, at least 2 full days every month in the urban core areas asking, what are the issues that are important to you? I do think that Tim Walz, if he ends up being the Democratic candidate, I think that he has at some level been exposed for various, distortions of the truth, perhaps we could say. And I think that I think that those, we need to be in that urban core, and we need to demonstrate that we are genuinely and empathetically listening, and we need to ask those people, what has the last 25 years gotten you in terms of empty promises and empty pledges? And I think I've already spent a lot of time in the urban areas talking to people, trying to get take their temperature. And I think people are ready to change.
Yeah, good point. Donald Trump does as well. He says to that constituency, what the hell do you have to lose? And that's what Trump literally says it. And that's worked. And that's a version of what you're saying right now.
Yeah. Can you afford it? Do you have the money to compete in the cities? That's a big check.
Well, it sure is. And what we need to do, quite frankly, is we need to fundraise like never before, like no one has ever fundraised on the Republican side of the equation. Our website is drscottjensen.com. We'd love people to go there. We're putting down principles that we believe the Republicans have to grab onto. We believe that the Republican Party in the state of Minnesota has to modernize their platform, much like Trump demanded in 2024. We need to work as a team. We need to go pursue ballots. We need to advocate.
You're 100% right. But you need the team to do it, to Kevin's point, and you need the juice.